Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 42, Pokemon the First Movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. I'm your host, Dragon Trainer Mason Smith. And I'm here with my host, Cool Trainer, Morgan Stradling.
Hey!
And we're here in this tall grass here, and we're just kind of walking around, you know, and I hope nothing threatening pops up.
Good thing we have our Pokeballs.
Good thing we do.
And good thing Professor Oak just spent 30 minutes explaining everything to us, so we definitely are in the know. But we haven't met Old Man yet, so I don't really know what to do with my Pokeball.
Oh, I don't know. Well, let's walk a little further, shall we? Oh my goodness, Morgan. I have never encountered this before. It is a real live water Pokemon master. It's Carry Ride, everyone.
Magikarp, Carp, Carp, Magikarp.
Hey,
it's just a Magikarp. Hi. How are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm good. Just chilling in the water. Not in the grass.
In the water. Very cool. So for those of you who don't know, Gary, he's a writer on our site. He's really awesome. So Gary, just tell who you are, where you're
from. What am I about? I'm from India, and I write for the Rotoscopers. It's so much fun to be a part of the whole Rotoscopers thing, and it's even awesome to be hosting the podcast today. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on the show.
Thank you.
I had a pretty good week. I just got back from Disney World.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yay, Disney World.
I was actually really impressed by how much like animation stuff was at Disney World, so I'm going to try to do a YouTube video, try to motivate myself to do it.
Nice.
It's like I have all the tools, but I just won't do it. It's like really hard for me to motivate myself. But anyway, this week's been really busy. And then I had my birthday on the 9th. And so
Happy birthday, son!
Yay, happy birthday.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Robin Hood, sir. Yeah, so thanks, everybody, for your birthday wishes this week. And then went and saw Despicable Me 2 on my birthday as well.
Were you flocked with children like last time?
Yay!
Did you like that?
That was the most amazing sound editing ever. When they start laughing, it's like the most obnoxious kid laughing.
I know.
I would have put a scream one in there, but the scream one was like so loud and scary that I was like, oh, this is going to blow people's ears out. I can't.
Oh, it was like Tower of Terror screaming. You need to ask Shanna what my reaction was to the Tower of Terror this year. She was like, we got off the ride and like we're like recently married, and she was like, you know, Mason, I've never heard you scream like that before. Like, it's the Tower of Terror. Yeah, so I had a good week.
Cool.
But y'all were boring, huh? That stinks.
Yeah, just same old, same old.
Yeah, it's just chilling.
All right.
Nothing much. Building the site as always. The Rotoscopers site.
That's true. Always working.
It's awesome. I love the website so much.
You know, we do have quite the mecca of animation information on our.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you guys want to go on to the news? Stand by for news. Yeah. So, like I said, we saw Despicable Me 2. Once again, I did not see an advanced screening because, as you know, I watch movies with the common people.
Of course.
And
it's good to mingle with the common people once in a while.
You're like Aladdin. I just need a break from palace life.
Every movie I stand up and I go, oh, this movie theater is yours. Do as you please. But anyway, yeah, so Despicable Me 2. How did y'all like it?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was good. I liked it.
I really think it was like the animated film sneak attack of the summer.
Seriously, because people were MU thinking, oh, it was going to be so great. Despicable Me 2 wouldn't even come close. And it definitely did.
I thought it was better than the first one, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you say
I don't know.
That?
I liked it. Just like that. It just had a little more depth to it, I think. Just a little bit.
I thought it was cool. I didn't think it was as cute as the first film, but I thought it was a good film, like, because it definitely expanded on, like, you know, all the characters that you know and love. The girls weren't like a big part of it, but they were like a part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the introduction of, like, the new characters and, like, the new villains was appropriate. And then, of course, the minions. There's, like, minion madness all over the place in that film.
Totally.
And at first I thought, oh my gosh, they're just going to cut to these, like, throwaway, like, useless scenes of, you know, minions doing a bunch of slapstick and stuff. Shannon made the point that all the, like, side scenes actually had a point in the story. So it kind of all worked. Mm-hmm. And so, but so I liked it. The animation quality had definitely improved since the first film. And they also expanded on how many songs Pharrell Williams will do for an animated film. And, but yeah, I thought it was a really good job. So yeah, nice job, Illumination. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Hey, Morgan, you saw Meet the Robinsons, right?
Yes.
Okay. On the plane, when, Agent, what's her face is going Lucy. To Australia. Yeah. Lucy, when she is going back to Australia, I thought I saw, one of the uncles from Meet the Robinsons who they like live in the plants and they're trying to get everyone to ring their doorbell.
Really?
Trying to explain Meet the Robinsons is like really hard because that movie is just so weird. I thought I saw one of them. He's got like the Tom Cruise hair and like the dark glasses and he's wearing all black.
I'll have to go back and look.
Anyway, the big news story is that Despicable Me is kind of beating mm-hmm. everyone else in the box office?
Basically. Everything.
Yeah, so that's really exciting for them. And yeah, way to go. Like, job well done, definitely.
So kind of the big news with this is its opening weekend, it made around $83 million.
Yeah.
And it opened on a Wednesday before July 4th. So if you extend out its five-day total in the U.S., it made $143 million. Which is insane because it's still number one. In total, it's made $326 million thus far as of the time of this recording. And that's insane and awesome and not unexpected considering the first one did so well. But, man, I'm sure those guys are kicking back and opening champagne.
Yeah. Really. I like that this movie, it totally beat The Lone Ranger, which it was so unexpected. Like, that's like Disney's big summer movie and it just beat that. So,
yeah.
Good job.
Well, there's a number of reasons why Lone Ranger failed. But
yeah.
You spend a third of your budget on your main actor, Johnny Depp.
Exactly.
You're setting yourself up for failure.
The movie should have been renamed Jack Sparrow in the Old West or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our next news story is all Frozen related. Holy cow, we've had...
Yay, Frozen!
We've had a blizzard this past few weeks.
Seriously.
We've had a new Japanese Frozen trailer. Two new French movie posters, one featuring Elsa, mm-hmm. one featuring Anna. Some book covers that showed Anna and Elsa in their 2D form, so then they were pulled, and Disney said, please take those down. And then
as usual.
We finally got official character images and story details.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Where do we want to start?
The Japanese trailer. That was awesome. It was epic, totally.
I agree. Because the trailer for the U.S. was just very comedic, slapstick, just two secondary
Olaf
characters.
And, Sven.
And this, we actually got to see Elsa, we got to see Anna, we got to see the plot, we got to see a lot of stuff that we've been waiting and waiting for. And so I guess all this anticipation that's kind of been building up was finally like, yay!
Yeah, so I'm watching the trailer right now, and it's like, oh, Frozen! But anyway, I think it's really cool.
Anna, she's shouting out, "Miss Sister Elsa," or whatever.
One of our fans translated a few like sound bites, but
yeah,
I think it's really cool. So I guess so there's like the big bad snowman, and then there's like the snowman that wasn't supposed to. There's like the mistake snowman who is Olaf, you know?
Yeah.
Marshmallow.
There's like a straight up like ice golem that she created, and then Olaf, who was probably a mistake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that his name is Marshmallow. So Elsa, she really has a sense of humor on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Marshmallow, nice.
He totally reminds me of the Ice Titan in Hercules. Just a bit bulkier.
Yes.
I think this is going to be a cool story because of the complexity of the relationship between the characters. Because Elsa isn't a villain.
Yeah, she's
but
just...
But she is an antagonist.
Conflicted, yeah.
And that's good that they're kind of setting that up right away. So we're not going in there wanting to hate her or expecting to hate her. That we realize, like, okay, well, something's happened here, but we're still supposed to like her.
Or so that girls won't be afraid to buy the merchandise for
her. Yeah. I don't want Hirsch. That guy.
Exactly.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
So did everyone get to see the official character images? We got a few new characters in there.
Yeah, so I saw the Grand Duke and his two
guys. The Duke
guys.
Of Wesselton.
Yeah, and then I appreciated some
Hans.
Of the background stuff on Hans and Kristoff.
Isn't Hans dreamy? And
what do you know about my dreams, Hans?
So this Duke of Wesselton guy, like, who are these guys behind him? Like, these two guys standing with him?
Those are his loyal bodyguards that I think are going to be there for comic relief.
Totally.
No.
Kind of a C-3PO R2-D2.
Or like the donuts in Wreck-It Ralph.
I think one of them is his son, you think? Maybe?
Oh, could be.
Maybe he just brought him along to get him married to Elsa or something. I don't know.
Well, one thing I've noticed in these people are like, oh, who's who? And I can't tell who's what.
Yeah.
In this movie, they seem to be pretty good about, well, except for that picture of Hans. But the royalty wear sashes. And in the video where Hans is like barely in the background, he's wearing a sash. Clearly in this part where he's saying to Anna, do you trust me? He's not wearing one.
Then jump!
Okay, I really like this guy, Oaken. I don't know where this guy came from. His name, he runs the Wandering Oaken's Trading Post and Sauna. This totally reminds me of just a guy side character that we'd see in a Zelda video game.
Yep.
There you go.
Here, buy this tier wooden shield.
So I just think it's funny that he's included because it's really random.
Well, you know he's going to be important in the video game adaptation of Frozen.
Oh, of course.
Yes. He has a shop.
He will have a shop.
Buy more magic power. Power Elsa up.
You don't have enough rupees. So yeah, Frozen's going to be cool. So we're like 3 months away from... No, we're like 4 months away. For a second there, I was a little worried. I mean, at least our fans were like in a cumulative uproar over how little stuff they had released for this film. And so, anyway, I'm glad that there are at least some trailers that have like some plot points. Because like that so-called teaser trailer for Frozen was like the most aggravating thing ever for me.
But you know what? Like, my mom went and saw Monsters University and they played that trailer before.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my gosh, Frozen looks so cute. I'm so excited to see it. And I was like, what? What? This worked? Like, I don't even get it. Like, I thought adults, at least, would kind of want something a little better. But she was all for Frozen now. And I'm like, but you don't even know, like, the real thing about it.
You don't even know these characters.
When she told me that, I had to, like, rethink my views on that teaser trailer. Because I was like, okay, I guess Disney does know what they're talking about, and that actually did work, because...
You had a catharsis.
So, the next news is Disney has unofficially announced its upcoming slate right up to November 2018. So, this is unofficial, and it's kind of sketchy, but it's there. It's out there.
It's out there now. The original news story was pulled down, and it big waves. But you know what? We know about it now, and they can't stop us from talking about it. Because We know. Can't unerase
it. And we want it. And we want to talk about it, so.
Yeah, because a few months ago, Disney had released the future release dates. They're kind of like marking their territory and like staking their claim on certain dates, saying, oh, in 5 years, we're going to release a movie on this date, so don't bother us unless you want to get crushed. And this unofficial announcement gave us a little bit more information and the titles and directors of some of these movies. So, yeah, let's talk about them. So the first one's called Zootopia. It's directed
It's coming out in March.
Yes. Yeah. It says March 2016. It's directed by Brian Howard, who was one of the co-directors of Tangled. It features Jason Bateman as a fox character.
Oh, good.
And basically, that's all we know. So
yeah.
I'm imagining this is like an anthropomorphic talking animal thing.
Animal movie.
Yeah, did the wild not work well enough? And so they're going to take another whack at it?
I suppose.
The wild Madagascar bold.
Yes.
It's good. Whatever. I'm okay.
So what do you guys think this Zootopia is going to be all about?
Probably very similar to The Wild.
You really think they'd go there?
I hope not. No.
Oh, they're going to go there, hon.
Zootopia reminds me of a board game I play called Zooloretto. It's basically where you have your own zoo and have to accumulate animals. But I highly doubt it'll be really anything like that.
That really sounds like a board game you'd be interested in.
Yeah. Hey, quiet you.
Sorry. Zootopia, I think it just kind of reminds me of Cuscotopia. It's my birthday gift to me. I'm so happy. Yeah, no comment besides, like, I don't know, more animals in a zoo? Like,
yeah, or just a giant city.
Is it okay for
maybe
animals to be in the zoo? It's not okay for them to try to escape now?
I don't know.
Stay in the zoo. Where you're safe.
Madagascar all over again. No.
Okay, so the next news story is a film called Giants. This comes out November 2016. It will be directed by Nathan Greno. He was also a co-director for Tangled. He originally was going to be co-directing Zootopia, and then I guess they split and gave him his own feature.
Oh, okay.
So according to Blue Sky Disney that originally posted this and then took their report down, this is going to be kind of like a new twist on and take on fairy tales. And when I think that, I think, oh no, Shrek. But obviously they're going to go in a different direction. Man, we keep comparing these to like DreamWorks films that have already been done.
I know.
So it's going to be like, no, what's a substitute for a donkey? No, mule, I'm a giant, you know, grab your torch and pitchforks.
Oh my gosh, awesome. Yeah,
ogres have layers. Onions
have layers. Giants
have
more layers.
Well, speaking of giants, this is going to kind of supposedly be a take on Jack and the Beanstalk and other fairy tales.
Just do that?
You mean Jack the Giant Slayer? I don't think that was Disney.
No, that was Disney.
Oh, it wasn't? Oh, well.
So, but fairy tales are so hot right now in, like, everything pop culture. I'm wondering, I mean, fairy tales will always be a big deal for Disney, but I'm wondering if, like, the mainstream love affair will have passed by 2016.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
We're just now getting into fairy tales so that someone can make an anti-fairy tale movie.
Yeah.
A re-Shrekking, if you will.
Okay, I'm going to skip to the next one. So the next one is called Moana.
And ooh, this is the good one.
I know, this is the one everyone's really excited for. This is going to be directed by the famous Disney directing duo Ron Clements and Jim Husker.
Hey, good job.
And they directed Aladdin, Princess and the Frog, lots of things. And it's going to be a Polynesian story that follows the island inhabitants. You know, they supposedly there's going to be tiki idols that are made famous the world over. I don't know. I'm getting very much like a Tiki Room vibe from this. I see potential tie-ins to the park. But then at the same time, I see a lot of culture and richness that they could put into this film.
Is Johnny Lingo going to be in it?
Yeah, I wish.
Moana, you ugly. Dude, I'm all tiki'd out. We went and saw the Tiki Room, and then we went and ate at the Polynesian Resort down there. So
the
I'm all for
room,
this.
All the birds sing words and the flowers cream. Never mind. Yeah, so the question is this going to be a CGI film, or is it going to be a CGI 2D hybrid, or is it going to be traditionally animated? So that's the question, Moana.
Moana.
What do you think? Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, so Bob Iger kind of basically went out and said, like, hey, we're not doing 2D anymore.
Yeah, we're not.
Which is really a bummer, because I think they definitely could, and there's so much talent.
And they should.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was kind of what the studio is based on, but then people will go to the other side and say, oh, Walt Disney always believed in innovating and doing, you know, doing better. So
that's
I don't know.
True.
I think it'd be really cool to see a hybrid done. I know last year I got to see and talk to Ron and John, and they kind of mentioned like, oh, we're working on this top secret project. So even back then they were kind of working on pre-production. So hopefully by now they maybe have a story ironed out a bit more. I wouldn't be surprised if it's still in the works, but I don't think they're to the point in this movie to have animation done or even considered. So cross your fingers. Let's hope they still consider that.
I hope it is, because it's 5 years away. So fingers crossed for this one.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Okay. And last but not least, there is an untitled film, which will be directed by Dean Wellen. All we know is that it's going to be a teenage space race. And it's going to be a story that's a bit unusual for Disney Animation, and that's it. That's all we know. So I'm like,
Teenage Space Race.
Titan AE? I have no idea.
No. Okay. Anyway.
Teenage destroy entire planets. Let's see. Yeah, I think it's... I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, nothing really to comment on this.
Space racing movie?
No.
Are they just hinting at the next Star Wars installment?
Yeah.
For me, it's another racing movie again. Like, enough. Like, we have cars, we have Turbo, so this is another one with humans.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it humans?
We don't know. Could be aliens.
Teenage space.
But teenage aliens. Right? Yeah, you think humans.
Teenage aliens, okay. Yeah.
Like, totally aliens.
Okay, so that's our news for today. We're going to move on to our next segment.
Well then, how about a quick round of catch and fire? Catch and fire? You mean me? You're the only one with enough courage.
So we are so excited to be here with Gary and to have him on the show. And since Gary's never been on the show and we haven't done an interview with him, we are going to do catch and fire. So Gary, are you ready?
I am ready. Bring it.
Okay, Gary, here's how it's going to go down. I'm just going to ask you these questions, and you answer them as quickly as you can, like just off the top of your head, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Question number one. What was your first animated movie you remember seeing?
Aladdin. Shout out to Aladdin.
Nice.
All right.
Yay, Aladdin.
Favorite cartoon growing up?
That would be Tom and Jerry.
Wow. Nice. Favorite animated movie?
Favorite of all time?
I guess so.
Beauty and the Beast.
Hello. Favorite animator / artist?
I would say Glenn Keane, because he is really a legend. Like, his work on The Little Mermaid, Rapunzel, everything. He's awesome.
Well, and he's going to be inducted into be a Disney legend.
Yes,
so.
Which is why I said that.
All right. We were just talking about this. Classic 2D animation or CGI?
You know, before Tangled came out, I would have said classic animation, but CGI is awesome as well. So both.
All right, good deal. A favorite animation studio?
Disney.
All right. Disney or Pixar?
Disney.
Oh, all yay. Right.
Yay, Disney.
let's see. Laika or Ghibli?
Well, I'm not familiar with either of the studios' works too much. Laika, I think I've seen 2 movies, and Studio Ghibli, I've seen 1. So, Laika. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. All right. Let's see. Disneyland or Disney World?
Disney World.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Let's see. Disney princesses or princes?
This is a tough one. Princesses.
There you go.
Elsa,
heroes.
Hello.
I know. Heroes or Elsa's villains?
I would say villains, just because they just have a wider range of emotions. They're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Old Prince Philip, he's kind of a one-trick horse when it comes to feelings.
Yeah.
All I feel is valiant. Let's see.
Yeah, I know.
Stitch or Tinkerbell?
I would say Stitch. I love Stitch.
Ugh. People or anthropomorphic animals?
I would say people.
Songs or no songs? And careful how you answer
songs.
That.
Songs! Thankfully, Pokemon has songs, so yeah.
It does, doesn't it? Isn't that weird?
It does. Yeah, it does.
Now, next question. Who would win in a fight, King Fergus or Stoic the Vast?
I would say Stoic the Vast.
All right, good deal. Snow White or Sleeping Beauty?
Want to know a secret? Sleeping Beauty.
There you go. Tiana or Mulan?
I love them both. I would say Mulan. Yeah.
Summer releases or winter releases?
I'll say winter releases, just because of Frozen.
And
I'm so excited for Frozen.
Rasputin or Dr. Facilier?
Dr. Facilier. He's slightly better. than Rasputin.
Well, I don't know. I think Dr. Facilier is, like, way better than Rasputin.
Yeah, but he's not that good.
All right, now here's the tough question. Which would you prefer, Return of Jafar or Hunchback 2?
Da-da-dun. Stop it. I would say Return of Jafar, because that was one of the first movies I ever saw. So,
really?
Sad. Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Hey, well, good job. Now we know all about you.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg, and who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of The Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why The Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
About Gary, let's move into the main subject of our podcast today. Definitely has stood the test of time, is ever expanding, and it has some of the most fierce fans in the world.
Totally.
I know. And it's a good thing, because it's a good franchise.
Well, it's sort of like this three-legged stool. It has the anime, which people can relate to, and the cartoon show. It has the trading card game, which, you know, a lot of older people actually really like to play. Still big. I listen to a Pokemon podcast every once in a while. I don't know why, because I really don't play or watch Pokemon anymore. It's just sort of like nice background listening. And they're always talking about the trading card tournaments and how big it is. And it's crazy. It's still growing. And then the last part is the, you know, I think the most heavy of them all is the video game, which are still coming out with new iterations and new Pokemon all the time.
What's great about the Pokemon franchise is that, like, they've got all ends covered. Like, if you're too embarrassed to go out and buy the cards, you can always play the game, or you can, you know, you can watch the show, but you can also be into the cards. So it's like, you can be a fan doing whatever. For example, I really like the games. I'm like a, like, I've gotten so into the games that everything's just numbers to me. And I'm like, I don't care what it looks like. I just want to know how good its attack stat is. Come on. And, you know, you get all into breeding and finding the best items and, like, finding the best moves. And
EV training.
It's fun.
Oh, yes.
EV training.
Effort values. Such a big thing. But I hardly ever watched the show, because my parents are, like, lifetime members of the Anti-Anime League, and I never got to watch it. I had to, like, go over to a friend's house to, like, watch it. But whatever, you know. And but I could always sit in my bed and, you know, tap that A button for hours and hours on end.
A button.
The almighty A button.
So are you guys a red, blue, or yellow?
Blue.
Blue.
I'm red because my brother's always played blue.
Oh, really? And crystal. Oh,
nice.
Silver.
Yeah, I got into blue, and then 2 years ago I bought crystal just to experiment with generation 2, and it turned out to be a pretty pleasant experience
with the Suicune and all those. Yeah,
like the new legendaries, and they introduced steel and dark type, which was cool.
Those are
expansions that I can deal with. Let's talk about generations. We're now up to what, generation six.
On 5. Generation 6 is starting in October.
Yeah, with X
officially.
Y.
The birth of Gen 6.
Ooh.
It looks good.
You know, if you go on Bulbapedia, on the top it says, "Yes, we know Generation 6 has come out, but please keep speculation to a minimum."
Yes.
Had to, like, hold the floodgates on that one. So that brings the number of Pokemon up to, like, over 600, right?
649 right now.
And then in Black and White, you basically get to where you can pretty much, like, catch, like, the creator gods of all Pokemon. So how do you expand off of that? Like, how do you get any bigger than that?
I don't know.
You add fairy
fairy types.
Right, so, yeah, so fairy types, that's supposedly good against dragons, but I'm like, that's what we have dragon type for. Dragons can defeat dragons. It's been the way since day one. Now, you'll notice I'm getting a little cranky about this. That's because I'm one of those Generation 1 fans. I'll admit I do like Generation 2, but that is it. Like,
really?
I will not budge from generation two.
So you are a generation one-er.
Gen one-er.
Yeah.
Gen one-er.
And I will go into generation two. Like, I like, some of my favorites are from generation two, but like, that is where I stop. I cannot cross the line.
I love if you go to Urban Dictionary and you look at the definition. Yeah. Here's some of the definitions on Urban Dictionary for a gen one-er, spelled G-E-N-W-N-N-E-R.
It
says, someone who only favors the original generation of Pokemon. These people are oblivious or even annoyed of the newer Pokemon generations.
Oh, wow. Gen 1-er, an idiot who hates any Pokemon game made after Yellow without giving any actual reason. Gen 1-ers continuously voice their opinion in the jerkiest way possible while refusing to accept the fact that normal people have their own opinions. Okay, I think that's a little...
Here's one. A Pokemon, quote, fan... that only plays old generation Pokemon games and labels all Pokemon games after Generation 3 as crap.
That's crap. That's me. That's me right there.
So this person, this definition gives them, like, even a little bit more leeway that, like, okay, it's up to Generation 3, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna belittle or, like, be, like, angry or condescending to people who like the new generations. I mean, they can do what they want, but I just can't. It's all I can do to master the 251, or two if you count Celebi, that I'm familiar with. And I'm the type of person that when I, like, get into something, I want to be really, really good at it and know everything about it before I move on to the next big thing, which is probably why the reason I never bought a PlayStation 2 or any of the later consoles. I am still trying to master my
N64. Nintendo.
I also didn't have the money to go and spend it on new games and new cards, and I didn't want to get a 3DS
love the 3DS. It's awesome.
So, I mean, good job, everyone, for being excited about the new generations.
Yeah.
But as for me, it's too overwhelming. It's too much. And I am just fine sitting on my rocking chair on my front porch playing with my Tyranitar and Dragonite. So thank you.
And Mason, Gen 1.
Boy, I need to get that off my chest.
No, I'm not a Gen 1-er. mostly because I started in Generation 3, and then I went back and I played 1 and 2. Then I went to 4 and 5, and I think 5 is one of the best generations of all, so don't hate me.
So you're not rooted in the past. See, I consider myself a Gen 1-er, but I accept the other ones. I've played Black and White and haven't beaten it yet, so I mean, like, I'm not as hardcore as probably a lot of people listening to this episode. That's why we're focusing, you know, our discussion.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to the 90s and just... in the heyday of Pokemon, we're going to talk about all things Gen 1 Pokemon. First movie, anime craziness.
Woo, so yeah!
That is awesome.
I used to come home and watch the anime every single day, and I love when new episodes would come out. And and it was... I even, like I was mentioning off air, I was even on Bulbapedia way back in, I don't know, 2001. And my screen name was Gary Girl, so I was, like, big Gary fan, I guess. But it was more just to be the anti-Ash. And yeah. I really like people with drive and motivation, so that was very attractive to me with Gary, so.
I know. Gary always knew exactly where he was going. Ash just kind of bumbled around, was like, oh, I gotta learn a lesson about friendship today.
I know. I don't have time for that.
We don't kill Pokemon! We do it for you!
Yeah. I know. So Ash, he starts off wanting to be the world's greatest Pokemon master. I'll catch all the Pokemon in the world. Here I come. Ash Ketchum is on his way. But as of now, he's only caught about 40 Pokemon.
Oh, he's so lame.
Sad.
And you know what?
And he sends them all to Professor Oak in Pallet Town.
What a loser. What does he owe him?
So sad.
Okay, can I just say something that really, really bothered me with the anime? Ash never wanted to catch Pokemon. He was like, meh, whatever, I'm cool with the 6 that I have. And it kind of continues that way. Like, he'll to be able to have his 6 in rotation, he'll have to, like, free half of them to bring in 6 more.
Yeah.
But then
I know.
He caught a whole herd of Tauros in the Safari Zone. The U.S., they didn't show that episode. They blocked it because it was considered... I think James had a gun and, like, pointed
guns.
It at someone, and so it was considered not good for American audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So then from there on out, the anime never made sense because he'd pull out these Tauros, and we're like, what? Where did those come from? So always really bothered me. I was like, couldn't you cut that scene?
Same.
Whatever.
And Jesse and James were always the subject of controversy, and then they always got their episodes
It's true.
Blocked.
Yeah.
The other episode is where I think James cross-dresses and has boobs.
Gigantic. Yeah, there we go. I think that episode was kind of making fun of anime, so I don't know what the problem was. But anyway.
Does anyone remember the infamous Porygon incident?
Yeah, I know that's one of the blocked
that was
episodes
crazy.
That supposedly
that was scary.
caused seizures. Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane that that actually happened.
That actually crazy. Happened. I don't know about Lavender Town
it
Syndrome,
happened.
But like this one actually happened.
Yeah. Did it bother you in the very first episode of the anime where that the legendary bird shows up and you're like,
Ho-oh.
What the heck is this? And I'm like flipping through my book. I'm like, this Pokemon doesn't exist.
It's not even in the official Pokedex. What could it be?
I don't know. I was always like, there's more that they're not telling us, but they're teasing us.
It never showed up. It never showed up after that. I don't know what happened. It had a small role in the 9th movie or something like that. It wasn't a major thing.
I also think that the distrust of Gen 1ers is an age difference. I was young enough to be there when Generation 1 came out, and it was like, the big deal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We would all huddle around in the gym, in the cafeteria after school playing and be like, oh my gosh, my Farfetch'd most fury attack! Yeah!
And you have your Game Link cable.
All the battles were tremendous. Tremendous. My best friend Blake was always my most bitter rival. And we'd have our theories. I'd be like, no, you have to clone your items and get enough rare candy to be up to level 100. And Blake would be like, no, I really think there's something to be said about just manually training them up to 100. And I'm like, no, you idiot. And so I think the funnest thing growing up as a kid around the games was that there's all this like speculation and like all this like guesswork, you know, like, hey, if you hold down and B at the same time, then your Pokeball will upgrade to a greater Ultra Ball. You know, the whole Cinnabar Island stuff and then all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, you go under the truck and use strength. It won't work. You know what's cool is I think like either a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, Morgan sent me a link on how to legitimately catch a wild Mew in Generation 1 using a glitch. And I was like, I'll try it. It's probably just another truck on the island thing. And then it actually showed up and actually caught it. And I was like, holy crap. Thank you, Morgan.
Really?
No
problem. I want that.
I nicknamed it Morgan.
Well, I was never able to go to like those cool Poke events where they would like give you the promotional Mew. It's funny because you're like, I know the data is in there. Mew has to exist, but I don't
have
it.
I know you're in there knocking on your Game Boy. Come out, you coward! So yeah, that's what I think was cool is because we were all kids when these games came out, and so there was still magic in them, you know? And then the battling with friends
like
was
that.
Amazing.
I think it still is like that, even though like you can trade with people across continents, so it doesn't really have that connectivity.
Yeah,
it's not as micro of a feeling where before it was everybody on the playground had it and like all your friends had it. Now, that's why we have online to connect us to different fandoms, but it's not like it was.
It isn't the same, but it's still fun.
So I've got this, I've got up the random Pokemon generator and it can extract any Pokemon from any region, from any type. You can include, they call them Ubers. Overpowered Pokemon, but I think that's an excuse for wimps who haven't caught them or don't know how to use them. So I don't believe in that. And then you can include not fully evolved forms. So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna focus on one of our trainers here, Morgan, Gary, or me, and I'll extract one, and then you just tell us what you think about that one, if you ever used them, if you you know what your favorite moves of theirs are. Okay, well, we just had Catch and Fire with Gary, so let's move. Let's do Morgan.
Okay.
Okay, so this will be kind of like a Catch and Fire with Pokemon. First one. Your first one is Ekans.
Oh, Ekans. Ekans.
Realize that Ekans is actually snake spelled backwards, and I was so happy when I discovered that when I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, really? That's so cool.
They were really clever with the first generation names. So Ekans is famously one of Jessie's Pokemon, especially in the anime. She's very, very attached to him. Ekans is sort of a dork, a goofball. Eventually evolves into an Arbok and becomes a bit cooler. Honestly, I really don't have much preference for Ekans. I thought never really went with my team and what I was trying to do when I played the games. I just didn't see it as being that strong in Arbok. You know, a lot of vulnerabilities there, so Ekans is okay. I appreciate you from your tie to the anime with Jessie, but other than that, I'll pass.
All right, all
nice.
Right. All right, we'll do... Okay, next one. Ooh, dugong.
Dugong. Dugong, dog. So I had a dugong in my lineup. So, okay, which is really funny, because in Pokemon the First Movie, there's this, like... I know. There's this girl trainer.
This female trainer.
Who, I'm not even kidding, she had my exact lineup. She had a Rapidash, a Vileplume, a Dugong, and I think she has
Wigglytuff.
A Nidoqueen. I didn't have a Wigglytuff, but I'm not even kidding. I had a Jolteon. Yeah, so she had half of my lineup.
Vaporeon.
So I'm looking at her, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're me. Or maybe you inspired me later on. So it's just really funny. Dugong actually is a dugong. Like, did you guys know that there's an actual animal named dugong?
There's an actual animal.
It's just spelled differently, which is really funny. I'm like, wow.
It's as if they had a Pokemon called horse.
Yeah, horse. So it's really funny because these people, when they were doing the translations, like, they really did their homework. And I appreciate that. And turns out Dugong is pretty crappy of a water Pokemon Generation 1. I understand why nobody used it.
High HP.
Yeah, but that's about it. Like, I never won battles. And, like, I was just too prideful and, like, was really gung-ho about my lineup, saying, oh, my lineup's so awesome. And I didn't want to have to resort to dragons or other things like that. So I tried to, like, create this, like, alternative kind of, like, a hipster. This is totally what it was. It was, like, a hipster lineup. Dugong, yeah. Vileplume, Rapidash, like, not very strong, but kind of cool Pokemon, so...
I hope in the X and Y games they invent a new trainer class called Hipster, and all they use are Generation 1 and 2, and they like the obscure ones.
Hipster.
Go lick a tongue! I mean, if you want to.
Oh, that's so awesome. Good. So, Dugong always let me down. Those are my final words.
All right, now, final Pokemon for this trainer. Let's see. Ooh, Cloyster.
Oh, Cloyster. Nice. Cloyster was another Pokemon that I never used. I meant Cloyster. I think Cloyster's voice was Cloyster. Pretty boring and standard Batman-ish. I really don't have very much to say about Cloyster. I never really used him. All I know is he's one of those Pokemon that'd be annoying in the games and use Harden all the time. And I'm like, stop. Remember Kakuna's in the first,
Metapod.
Like, in the forest? And you're like, oh, yeah. Good time.
Kakuna and Metapod take forever to kill them. Like, okay, I'll take my 16 experience points, thank you.
I
earned them. I just hate Cloyster because they would shoot Aurora Beam at you, and for some reason all of my team was sensitive to ice, and so it'd be like, super effective.
Oh yeah, ice Pokemon, I forgot about them, that they're kind of underrepresented and actually decent. Aren't they pretty good? Or are they crappy?
They're okay because ice attacks
They're good against dragons.
Oh,
they're powerful against...
Yeah.
That's because half the dragons are flying.
Super effective.
Are flying type as well.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I have to say. Sorry all that right. Cloyster was a very unclimactic ending.
That's okay.
Someone in the Elite Four had a Cloyster, remember?
Lorelei.
In the first generation. Lorelei? Yeah.
Lorelei. Nice.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, easy. Freeze Ray from Despicable Me 2. Yeah. Yeah, all right. So I kind of designed this little game so that I know we would want to talk about every single Pokemon, but this way we can get, like, random ones, so it's kind of fair, and we can just kind of move on.
Okay, so I'm going to dish up the Pokemon for Mason, so let's push the button. Okay, here are the three that you got. First, Nidoqueen.
Nidoqueen is, like, I love Nidoqueen and Nidoking because they look like amazing, powerful Pokemon, but the one thing that they have not going for them is their types, because they're both poison types. So it's like, oh, okay, any psychic attack will kill you.
Poison ground, actually. Yeah,
and ground. Yeah.
Yeah, ground.
That's how you could take out Gengar and Haunter and all them, because they're like, we are ghost type, indestructible. And you're like, oh, you're also poison type.
Poison. Yeah.
So anyway, so like the big deal with them is that they're poison type, but they don't know any good poison attacks. Because they're such physical fighters, and so I used a Nidoking for a while, because they did, like, Horn Drill and, like, kind of powerful physical attacks, but, like, it was just really annoying because their types were really, like, they weren't very advantageous. Like, you really couldn't fight anyone good because they would always have a psychic and they would always take out your super strong, like, physical fighters. So I never used Nidoqueen. Nidoqueen learned Double Kick at some point, which is, like, a good move against normals and against, like, rock. So good for them, but I would never use them.
Nice. All right, next one. Granbull.
Granbull. Awesome.
Granbull.
Super high attack because he's got those jaws. I always liked the noise for Granbull on the Game Boy game because like he always sounded like so cool. And I thought they looked cool too. It was like this gigantic like pit bull that had huge fangs. I rolled with one for a little bit, but I ended up moving away from normals and just normal types and just using elemental types. So.
All right, last one, Moltres.
Oh, Moltres was freaking awesome. I think the signature attack move for Moltres in Generation 2 was Sky Attack, which is like a freaking amazing move. Moltres is cool because that was the one that inspired Blaine to be a gym leader and use all fire type. Because he was like, wasn't he like lost in the mountains? And then Moltres like guided him home. And it was all sweet. He's like, I know, I'll become a trivia master and then open up a gym. Thanks, Moltres. Now, here's the deal with the legendary birds from Generation 1. I didn't know that their names included Uno, Dos, and Tres.
Yes.
Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres. You gotta hand it to him. Generation 1 and 2 had, like, the coolest names, like, clever names. Now you just have, like, names that are just, like, really weird. So anyway, I'm a big fan of Moltres. I use them all the time. Fire Blast and Sky Attack. And, oh, also, in Generation 1, you could do this kind of jerk move where Moltres could learn Toxic and Fire Spin. And so you could cast Toxic, and so they would progressively get more points. They would take twice as much damage as the second round as a round previous from the poison. And then you could use Fire Spin to trap them, which it didn't quite work the same in Generation 2, but Generation 1, it was like a death sentence. You could cast Toxic. You could do Toxic and then Fire Spin, and then while they're trapped in the fires, the poison would take effect with each turn, and if you did Fire Spin twice, you could take out any high-level Pokemon. So I did exploit that a lot, because I want to win. That's my Moltres story.
Nice.
It's a good one. That's a good one. Nidoqueen and Granbull aren't very good, in my opinion, but Moltres is pretty cool. Ooh, good for you. Okay, first one is Poliwag.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so Poliwag, I always thought it just had this weird design. Like, it's a circle with legs, basically. Yeah, really. And
easy
it has
to draw.
This, yeah, I know. It was one of the first I ever drew, I think. So thank you, Poliwag. I never actually used Poliwag. I just caught it. So it wasn't one of my favorites. And, oh, yeah, it has this weird voice. It was like, bully, bully, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't have too many thoughts on Poliwag, except that it's really simple.
I always thought it was weird that you, like, got up to, like, Poliwrath and Poliwhirl, and they were, like,
Poliwhirl.
They knew fighting moves, but they also knew Hypnosis. So it was, like, kind of this weird, interesting little dichotomy there.
Yeah, I think that was because of the spirals on the stomachs.
Yeah.
Random.
Pokemon number 2! Let's see. Ooh, Chansey, a classic.
Chansey, good old Chansey. So,
Chansey!
Yeah, so, when you think Chansey, you just think Pokemon Center, because every Nurse Joy has a Chansey. Chansey, I know Chansey because it has this really cool evolved form called Blissey.
Dude, Blissey,
I love Blissey.
Rocks.
I'm a fan of Blissey.
Blissey's
and
amazing.
Chansey, I also remember it was really hard to find in the games. Like, I think you find it in the Safari Zone. Yeah, I never actually use normal types, so I'm not a big fan of Chansey either. So, sorry.
I have a Blissey on one of my teams, and I personally like it because it can learn Toxic, Soft Boiled, and Protect. So you can poison it and then heal yourself and protect yourself in alternating turns, and so it gets really annoying.
Nice.
That's how I roll. I just annoy the other trainer until they explode.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Chansey. Ooh, the third one is one of my personal favorites, Tentacruel.
Tentacruel. Okay, so again, something I never actually used, but one I found really annoying all the time. I just don't like Tentacruel. It has this weird design. It's one of my least favorites from the first generation. I remember, like, you would just go surfing on the water, and Tentacruel would just show up all the time. Or was it Tentacruel? I don't remember. So annoying. I don't really like Tentacruel
either. They're definitely not cuddly, that's for sure.
Not my type.
Yeah, good deal. All right. Well, that was fun.
Woohoo!
Yay.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for. We've actually gotten a lot of requests for this movie because, like we said, there are still Pokemon fans out there, and this fandom is still thriving. So
it is.
So our movie we are doing today is Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back.
Mewtwo Strikes Back. Because Mewtwo is practically Darth Vader.
Calling all trainers. You are summoned to the greatest challenge ever. Prepare to witness the rarest and most powerful of all. This fall, training is over, and the ultimate showdown begins. Kids WB presents the first Pokemon movie ever. Catch it November 12th.
Detective!
Only in theaters.
So let's talk about this. I think out of all the longest standing like kid crazes and fandoms out there. Okay, so this was what year was this?
1999.
Okay, cool. So that was, I think we've already done a 1999 movie. We did Toy Story 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the same year as Iron Giant, Tarzan, Toy Story 2, of course, and then Bartok the Magnificent. So just kind of putting all this into context.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I remember about this film was the soundtrack.
Yes.
Or like the music inspired by album. I hate when they do that.
They just had random artists like Christina Aguilera, ooh, Britney Spears, Aaron Carter,
Aaron
M2M.
M2M. Okay,
sure. M2M.
I love it.
So this is 1999, right before the turn of the century, and turn of the new millennium, and then you still got, like, didn't the album have, like, the Pokemon theme song sung by, like, Backstreet Boys or, like, NSYNC?
It wasn't one of the boy bands. It was someone called Billy Crawford, and I don't know who he is. Like,
oh,
sorry.
My gosh. Billy Crawford.
Who is he? Maybe they just got him for less money or whatever. I don't know.
Seems legit.
It's a good song, though. The opening song.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, before the movie starts, it opens in Cinnabar Island, where these scientists, they're cloning...
Missing
they're
no.
working on something.
Missing no.
That should be on the random Pokemon list.
Yeah, that would
it
be
should
awesome.
Be. Missing no. Glitch. Glitch.
Maybe in Generation 6 he'll actually be a registered Pokemon and get the fame he deserves.
A wild Missing No appeared.
Quick run from it! Anyway. Do not catch it!
Yeah, so these scientist guys, they're on Cinnabar Island, and they're working on this top secret scientific project, and you don't know what it is, and they're whispering and don't know, and stuff. And then you see Mewtwo, he's asleep in his giant test tube, and he wakes up. So, and that's where the movie starts.
Yeah, I love the backstory on this. First of all, Giovanni is one of the greatest characters in all Pokemon history. Yeah, first of all, Team Rocket, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. They're like these like high-tech 1930s gangsters who run around in the games. They ran around with whips, you know. Yeah, we're Pokemon gangsters. Go Raticate. And
in the power plant.
In the power plant. Yeah. And then but Giovanni's just this awesome guy. Okay, he's the first and only guy to realize, "Hey, we can steal these things, and two, we can use them to kill people." They're like, "What? You're crazy. You can't use these things to kill people. I mean, they're strictly for fighting. Or they're your friends." He's like, no. See that giant 90-foot long Gyarados that you're walking around? It can eat people if it wants to. So let's make them do that. What? That's crazy talk. Why would my Tyranitar kill someone? I mean, it's a gentle giant. Look at it. No. It could stomp on someone and kill him. I just love Giovanni for being such an innovative thinker here. He's like the evil Walt Disney of Pokemon. Did I go too far with that?
No.
You should have
a
theme park. Pokemon theme park. Team Rocket.
Nice.
They really should.
The movie tie-ins and stuff.
So what about the marketing? Because this was big.
Oh, yeah. I remember dragging my dad to see this, and he fell asleep, as he always did. But yeah, they had special trading cards that you got when you went, right? What were the other three?
Mewtwo, Dragonite, and Pikachu, of course.
Ah.
Dragonite, man.
So these four, yeah.
How much money did this make?
The opening weekend, it opened November 10th, 1999, which was a Wednesday. And so over the five-day weekend, it made $10 million, which 1999, it was considered pretty big.
Really?
It briefly held the record for biggest opening for an animated film for 2 weeks until Toy Story 2 released. So, yeah.
Well, that's understandable.
Awkward. Yeah.
So, I just looked and it made $163 million total. Yeah, worldwide.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad for 1999.
Yeah,
it was.
I suppose.
It was, because movies like Mulan and Toy Story, those were making close to about $400 million, so it's not
but
that
was an
big.
It was an anime.
Yeah, for a cheap anime, and Americans for the most part turned off.
I guess.
And other people in other countries as well.
Don't say cheap anime. Yeah. Our anime fans are going to be like, cheap? How dare you? Take him out, Golem! They're gonna throw all their Pokeballs at you.
Yeah.
Getting back to, like, the plot, I guess. So, and then there was this deleted scene, right?
No.
Well, it wasn't a deleted scene. It was, like, a special scene that they made.
Yeah, so this scene, the origin of Mewtwo, they actually animated that 2 years later, and they put that on the Mewtwo Returns DVD. And it also released with the Japanese version of Pokemon the first movie. I always thought that was a deleted scene, and they removed that because it was too scary or something, but that's not true.
It actually, I wish it would have been there. It's 10 minutes long, and then the intro to the actual movie is 10 minutes long, you know, where Mewtwo finally breaks out or whatever. So it would have made the intro 20 minutes long, but it's so, it adds a lot of depth, and it's really cool.
It's interesting.
And it introduces us a bit more intimately to Mewtwo, so we can kind of understand him and see that he was pure at one time.
Young Mewtwo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I loved watching that. I thought it was fantastic. I'd never seen it before, so when I was watching it, I was like,
it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a cool concept.
Bit disturbing about cloning the girl.
Yeah, and she dies. So that's sad.
Yeah, they all eventually die.
And Squirtle, Charmander, Bulbasaur.
I was looking, and apparently the reason Mewtwo didn't die is because he was cloned from Mew, who has, like, a never-ending life force. So that's the only reason he could survive being cloned. At that point in time, because then we later learned that, like, anyone can be cloned later.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just like instant cloning.
Like a freaking Xerox, man.
I know, it's like, let's crank out the clones.
Literally a clone war.
So the very beginning, so the scientists are speaking and they're like, Mewtwo, he's the most powerful Pokemon of them all. Now, that's when we only knew there were 151. So is he still the most powerful Pokemon of all, or no? Are there other ones that have kind of surpassed Mewtwo, or is Mewtwo still like the end all of powerful Pokemon?
He's the coolest. That's what I think. I don't know if, is he the strongest? Because we have this god Pokemon. It's called Arceus. And it's like, it's supposed to be the creator of the whole Pokemon world or whatever. So, I don't know. But I think Mewtwo still, it's still the most powerful because it holds the record for having the highest special attack. So, yeah.
Ah, nice.
I guess.
So, okay. I don't know. I think these scientists in the very beginning, they're pretty stupid. I mean, they create the world's most powerful Pokemon and they expect it to be 100% subservient and obey. I'm like, come on.
Like, really? You expect this guy to just listen to whatever you say? Seriously? Like, he's the world's strongest Pokemon.
Well, they didn't know that at the time, but when you're creating it from a legendary, you should definitely put some extra precautions on there.
Yeah.
Because, when we were trying to make it stronger than even the original one, watch out.
It wasn't their fault, really, because they were actually commissioned by Giovanni to create Mewtwo, so it's not like they did it out of their own will.
Yeah, they were just working for a paycheck, huh?
Yeah.
They're like, meh, probably going to destroy us later on and destroy the whole lab, but so, I'll take
it. Let's just keep going.
This guy has great benefits.
I know.
So then Mewtwo kind of escapes, and then he goes on this, like, spree of catching a ton of Pokemon. And I love that he catches a herd of Tauros, just like Ash. I'm like, really? We couldn't be more original in this?
No, that's not Mewtwo. That's actually Team Rocket who captures the Tauros. No, Mewtwo is like, I will just lift these Tauros in the air and you can just capture them. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he's working for Team Rocket at the time. Like, Yeah.
So he's kind of conflicted. Like, he doesn't know what his place is in this world. He's like, why am I here? What am I doing? What is my purpose? And so Giovanni kind of takes him to his gym and he puts him in this armor, which if you watch the anime closely, you would have noticed that.
What do you mean?
They actually showed that in the episode when Ash, he challenges the Viridian City gym.
Yeah.
You actually see Mewtwo in his armor and
what?
You see Gary. Yeah.
That's insane.
And then, and then the gym, it gets destroyed or something, and you just see Mewtwo just flying out of the thing. This happened in one episode.
Oh, so they're kind of setting
cool.
up the movie.
Yeah, it's actually Jesse and James take over because Giovanni runs away as well.
Of course.
So Jesse and James give Ash his 8th gym badge. That was fun.
Oh, nice.
So there's all this drama in this scene. Like, Mewtwo, he blows up Cinnabar Island. Literally.
Sure.
I know. Like, he does he kill all the people? Do,
yes.
Do they all die?
They all die because the place is gone. I mean, ooh. I don't understand why. Oh. I mean, I don't know. He's
sad.
Just like a mass murderer and doesn't care. So he's really gone to the point of no return when it comes to emotions. Okay, so then we go and we are introduced to Ash. And it sounds almost like a normal Pokemon episode where there's the narrator.
I know.
And he's just sort of, Ash, today is walking. And we see him and he's just being a little snot and being really tired.
Being a little snot.
Good.
He is. He's just like sitting there. He's like, Misty, I'm so thirsty.
I'm hungry.
What about my Pokemon? We need like a vending machine and get some lemonade for him.
Yeah.
And then some dude come up and he's like, oh, I'm going to fight you, Ash.
Yes.
Who is this guy?
He has a Dawn fan, right?
Dawn fan. Yeah. Oh, no. Counterattack with whatever you feel like, man.
Hold up.
But it's really funny because there's like a musical montage during this sequence. And then, did it ever bother anybody that in this movie and then sort of in the anime, they introduced characters that we hadn't even heard of yet? Because these were Gen 2.
Yeah, we just thought it was cool. We were like, Dawn fan. Oh, cool. He looks awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, he gets beat by Pikachu in like 5 seconds.
Oh, he's no good.
I'm just kidding. He is. He's amazing. He's like the official Pokemon of the Republican National Party.
I thought it was nice to see some new Pokemon in this. It was nice. It was a nice way to introduce us to what's coming up next.
Yeah, I think it was a good way to like brace themselves because I think in the next year there was like going to be a stampede of like 100 more Pokemon that people had to deal with.
100.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like
I love Generation 2. I thought Generation 2 was even better than Generation 1. I think.
I thought it was a little bit smarter. Yeah. Like they didn't just like come out with a bunch of like Pokemon that just didn't make sense. You know, they tried to give some logic to it, and they didn't have like you know like uber powerful Pokemon, but you could get some pretty decent ones.
Yeah, Lugia, my favorite.
Dude, Lugia is my favorite. Dude, awesome.
It's awesome.
Lugia. It was kind of funny. There's like a radio show where all they did was talk about like this Pokemon may be on Route 25. And the commentary would be like, wow, that Pokemon is so strangely furry. And it would just like keep going. The radio stations were like supposed to be this big innovation, but it was like really kind of funky.
Oh, yeah.
But I did like the time of day kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, that was cool.
And that she had to be at certain places at a certain time of day to do certain things, so that was cool.
Then a Dragonite appears, and I think this is awesome, because I love Dragonite. So rare! At least in the games. It was a bit hard to get one.
Yeah, I think at some point they run into a giant Dragonite at the Lighthouse episode.
Yeah, that was so odd.
And it was like, but it was giant. It's like, okay, so according to my Pokédex, it's not supposed to be that big, so what is this?
Yeah.
Are they all hallucinating?
Well, yeah, and, like, wasn't that one shrouded in kind of darkness the whole time?
Yeah, it used mist.
Oh,
It used the mist technique, so all its status effects were nullified.
Nice.
Just kidding.
Yeah, they never really explained the whole giant thing.
Well, you know, Ash is supposed to be hallucinating dreaming all this because he's in a coma,
That's
apparently.
That's true. That is true. So, okay, where did that Dragonite come from? Is that a clone? Or was it Nurse Joy's?
Nurse Joy had a Dragonite?
I don't know.
Like, what's she doing as a nurse?
I don't know. I mean, apparently this particular Nurse Joy has moved up in the world and moved beyond the Chansey. But I just don't know where it comes from. It doesn't really make sense. But maybe Mewtwo has access to other awesome Pokemon and just cloned them.
You know, it's one of the big fan questions, isn't it?
One of the biggest in the fandom.
In the fandom. Where did this mysterious Dragonite come from?
I love typical Brock. He's sort of like, you know, they get this hologram thing, and he's like, she's really small, but really pretty. I'm like, oh, it's not Brock unless he's commenting on a woman.
No kidding. I like how in animes you always have that guy who's like painfully girl crazy. So it's kind of like Mortal Kombat style. It's like this giant grand tournament called, you know. And yes. So everybody's got to get out to the sea, like Secret Island, you know. It's like, oh, Pokemon Master, he's calling us to fight, and whoa, we got to do that. I think that's the point when Team Rocket is like, oh, ha, ha, we're going to take advantage of the situation, aren't we? And then there's like a big storm, right?
Yes, there's a big storm, and the ferry gets canceled.
Oh.
So the majority of the trainers are just like, meh. Well, they're like really bummed they can't go. How are we going to go? How are we going to fight? You know, but then there's these like bad A trainers who are like, oh, I'm going to go myself. And they're just sort of like, either they fly there or they ride like a dugong over there.
Oh, wow, okay. Show-offs.
Yeah, totally.
Ultras, this would be the perfect time to show off my super rare Lapras. Let's go.
Yeah, so when all these trainers, they're leaving this place, and they're trying to get to a new island. So one guy flies off on his Pidgeot, and another one is on her dugong, and there's another one on his Gyarados. So there's one more. She kind of flies off on her Fearow, but then she never gets to new island. what happened? Did she die, or did she just get lost? I don't know.
I'm not going to jump sad. To conclusions and say that she died. That's pretty sad, but
she encountered a missing no, and just glitched out of the movie.
Maybe she had a missing no in her lineup, and...
And it just corrupted her save data.
Glick, 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 glitch.
And the fact that she was riding a Fearow, which is pretty...
I know, that's...
I don't know, I'd rather ride a Fearow than drowned. An idiot.
So what happened to her? Did she just fly off, and maybe she ended up in Johto? I don't know.
Maybe we'll see her in the next movie.
Yeah, maybe it'll be like a Monsters University thing where, like, at the very end of the last of the credits of the last Pokemon movie, she'll just, like, go to the island and be like, okay, I'm here, guys!
I'm in a new region and I just discovered 200 new Pokemon! Generation 7!
Oh, she's the true winner.
She is the true winner. Our hats go off to this mystery trainer.
No, I love this scene. This scene has some of the best quotes. Yeah, so Team Rocket, they're under disguise. Jesse and James, they're dressed as Vikings. So they just show up and they're like, you want to cross the Navy? We take you, yeah. We take you to a new island faster than you can say Farfing Yugen.
Farfing Yugen.
I don't know what that is. And then Jesse, she's rowing the boat and she's like, stroke, stroke, stroke. I think I'm going to have one.
Good. I think I never see through Jesse and James' disguises. Like, yeah. Do they all need glasses or something? Or in Pokemon Land, are they just that good? No, it's just kind of that cartoon thing where, like, the audience can totally see through any ruse, but the characters are like, yes. Oh, okay, she seems like an old man. It can't be Jafar. But yeah, although that one got me.
So, and then there's another line, Brock is like, I didn't know Vikings still existed, and Ash's like, they mostly live in Minnesota.
Nice.
nice shout out.
Wondering if they probably didn't have that in the Japanese translation.
Yeah, no, this is all in the English one, so.
And then Mew kind of comes in.
Yay, I love Mew. And then Officer Jenny, you know, all these trainers are going away, and she's like, some trainers have no fear. This is just another challenge. It's what sets them apart and makes them true Pokemon masters.
Ooh. So. Confucius say. Ooh, a master, huh? So there are the masters and there's the champions. Would you rather be a Pokemon master or the champion?
Yeah, what's the difference between the two? I don't know.
Well, if you're a master, then I think you can be a master without being champion. Because isn't that what Ash wants to be? Because I bet he would like to win in the Elite Four and, like, be, like, the champion. But I think he just wants to be a master, you know? He wants to be, like, the very best. But no one really clarified what the best really means.
Yeah.
And so I think Because Ash did horribly in the Elite Four, didn't we? Didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Top 16.
I guess that's not horrible.
I know.
But for us horrible. As viewers who want him to get first, that's pretty bad.
Us as viewers who marched right past the Elite Four in the games and were like, why? It's not that hard. Just have a bunch of rare candy.
Yeah, it was so funny. I remember his Charizard went to sleep.
Oh my gosh. Did he not have enough badges? The poor little tot.
So then Mew, I love Mew, and he comes up, and he's so cute. He has a pretty sweet life. Like, Mew, or
is it a he?
Is a she? I don't know.
I always thought Mew is a she.
Oh, I just thought Mew was kind of gender neutral, like a lot of the legendaries.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Going by strict game data here.
But he, she, they just sort of like play around and goof off and just have a good time. And they don't fight, and they don't have conflicts with other Pokemon, and kind of a loner. Oh. It's just funny.
She's just chilling in her little bubble under the water. And it's a nice life.
Yeah, so Mew's pretty cool. You get in these animes where there's like one character who's like super powerful and he's like really evil and stuff, and there's like the only person that can like fight him is this kind of like happy-go-lucky kind of carefree kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mew is kind of like the Mr. Sandman from Rise of the Guardians. Doesn't that much just say, but is pretty powerful in his own right. So
yeah,
true. Yeah, so they reach New Island finally. Ooh. That was a good scene, like getting to New Island with the Staryu and Squirtle and the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then they get there, and then this woman, like, she's just standing there. She's kind of creepy. And Brock's like, have I seen you before? She takes them inside, and she's like, kindly release all your Pokemon from their Pokeballs. And they don't. Ash just releases, I think, Squirtle, Bulbasaur. Who else? Pikachu. That's all. Yeah.
Hey, I wouldn't show him all my cards.
No. Yeah, I know. Like he has Charizard, he has Pidgeotto, and I think Butterfree. No, not Butterfree. One more. I don't know. He just doesn't release all of them. Even Misty, like Staryu. No, maybe Staryu. Staryu can't walk on its own. So
maybe they had him all stored in Bill's PC.
So then Mewtwo appears. Behold, the world's greatest Pokemon master. Is also a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's cheating.
It's the perfect crime. I know. Are there any like in this like society that they have in Pokemon? Do they have like a checks and balances, like to make sure that the humans don't get overrun? You know, because these things can really do some damage. You look in the Pokédex and they're like, oh, a Gyarados can take out an entire city if it wants to. And I'm like, well, has it done it?
Why
before?
Doesn't it do it?
Why doesn't it do it? Why don't we? You know. All it does is hang out in Lake of Rage and cause a lot of water to splash on people.
I imagine living with Pokemon would be what it was like to live with a mild form of dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pretty dangerous and scary, but for the most part, these Pokemon just sort of, like, live their life and they're like, meh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're at the beach. Careful, kids. Don't go near the Krabbies and Kinglers. They'll use Guillotine on you. Well, if you look at the Pokédex entries for Haunter, Gengar, and Ghastly, they're, like, really kind of grim. They're like, this Pokémon will wait in the shadows to steal the souls of any victim who comes near him. And I'm like, what now?
So Mewtwo comes, and he hates humans, and he hates anything to do with them. But he happily set up a, you know, an official Pokemon stadium that conforms to all the rules, you know, because apparently he obeys the rules and wants to follow them. At the same time, he's just using it so he can just kill the humans that are there and laugh about it.
Yeah, I like it. It's like, as you can see, I have every accommodation a human might like, because I'm going to kill you all.
I had this stadium specially built to kill you all.
I think it's an evil arch-villain thing where they're like, aha, I must give you a fighting chance.
Yes.
That's true. They like to play with their food before they eat it.
Yeah. Didn't your mother ever tell you not to play with your food?
Then all the Pokemon are released, and they have these, like, dorky nicknames, and she's like,
go, Shell Shocker.
It may not have a nickname, but I do have Charizard.
Ash just needs to stop talking. Nah,
I never
cute.
Nicknamed
cute,
my Pokemon,
cute.
Ever.
Oh, I did every time.
No, I never do that. I don't know why.
I rarely would, sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think that's what they're doing. They're kind of making fun of the games that, you know, some players do, some players don't.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then, but Mewtwo has his own, is this before he clones out, he clones all the Pokemon really quick?
Yeah, this is before. So all the original Charizard, Blastoise, and Venusaur, they lose. So Mewtwo's like, aha, so I beat you. For my prize, I will take all your Pokemon. That's illegal. Wait,
they're like, that's illegal.
we don't steal Pokemon.
It's like in the game when you try to capture another trainer's Pokemon.
He just bats it away. You can't do that.
The trainer blocked the Pokemon.
Yeah, why didn't they just do that in this instance?
That's true.
Yeah, I know.
He's all about the rules, except for that one. Yeah.
So then we catch up with Team Rocket. I love this scene.
Yeah, but they're like behind the scenes in the clone room.
Yeah.
And then I love, okay, so this is after Mewtwo has started stealing all of the Pokemon, and then there's the mysterious shadow that appears on the screen of the Pokemon. They're like, it's Charizard! It's...
Oh, yeah.
Name that Pokemon! And then this one bothered me so much. It's a Scyther. And then they're like, it's Alakazam!
Alakazam! Like, what? Who's that Pokemon?
Not even the same type.
Doesn't even look like it. Like, whoever was the intern who did the translation on this, shame, shame. That always bothered me.
I heard they left that in for the kids just to guess and just to show Team Rocket is pretty dumb.
Really?
Yeah, no, they put that in on purpose, I think. Pretty sure.
Oh, well, it grinds my bones. Not very happy about it.
Yeah, apparently there's some character errors. Yeah, when watching the Pokemon go through the cloning machine, Jesse and James call the silhouette of a Scyther an Alakazam. Apparently there's some other ones.
Yeah, but what bothered me even more was that they just make cloning look so easy. It's like, just take the hair, just put it in the machine, and there's your clone. Let's just crank out all the clones.
Well, it's Japan. I mean, that's how they do it.
I know. Like actual cloning takes years, really.
Yeah, didn't you see Star Wars? These clones take years to develop.
I know. Instant cloning.
I love on IMDb, there's, you know, on the goof section, there's one part at the very end, it's under revealing mistakes. It says, if one listens carefully, one can hear Ash's voice, original voice, in the scene where he faces the second trainer's Pokemon. Like, is that really a revealing mistake?
I like factual errors. When Ash is trying to save Pikachu from one of Mewtwo's Pokeballs, he chews the metal arm that grabs him. His teeth would have broken.
That's not true. We don't know how hard Pikachu teeth are.
That and it's a cartoon, people.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all and I don't think in real life there could be like these virtual reality balls that just kind of like suck giant animals up into them and stores them as data.
Oh,
I mean, wouldn't that be a factual error then if you're going with the whole teeth-breaking thing? Come on.
But that was a cool scene, really, where Mewtwo, he just captures all their Pokemon. There's so much drama in that. Like, Pikachu, he's running. He's like, peek, 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 peek.
Yeah.
She's like, if I take my Pokemon into the Pokeballs, Mewtwo can catch them then. Squirtle, Bulbasaur, return! And the Pokeballs, they catch the Pokeballs. So does Mew show up then after this? Yeah, and Mewtwo is just lecturing him. He's like, da 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 da, and Mew's just like looking around, chilling. Like, whatever. I don't care.
Did it ever occur to him that maybe Mew doesn't understand English? I mean, they found him in South. I mean, they found him in South America. Maybe he should switch the language to Spanish.
Yeah, but then Mew replies. She's like, Mew 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 Mew. Then it's like, real Pokemon versus clones. Let the fight begin. Yeah,
because the clones all have this weird marking on them, right?
Yeah, clearly they're not
all of them
perfect clones because they have these weird like birthmarks almost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
basically it's just so you can tell them apart as audience. But...
Yeah,
they're all fighting each other. That means one elemental type is fighting another of the same elemental type, and so all the attacks are going to not be very effective, and these fights are going to last forever.
It's not very effective.
Water gun! Brr, not very effective, dot, dot, dot. Water gun bag!
This is when those TMs and HMs really came in handy for the trainers that use them.
Okay. My Blastoise now knows Thunderbolt. You can't do that!
See, that'd be so awesome if like they actually incorporated a lot more game elements into this, just to make it funny. Mm-hmm.
They really should. Spring repel all over each other.
Yeah, see, they never never use stuff like that in the games. And
like, all you ever see is potions. Like, that's all. Do you guys think the scene required this cheesy song? It's like, brother, my brother. I'm like, what? Really?
So lame. The fact that the whole movie had been cheesy up until this point, I'm sort of like expecting it. And just laugh okay. when they do it. But
yeah.
Like, and it's like slow motion and the whole, I don't know.
It's pretty funny.
It was kind of lame. But the best part of this whole thing was the Pikachu slap fight. That is so famous.
I know, it's been famous. It's like, been, slap, looped over and over again.
I know. But then Meowth has this talk with the other Meowth, and it kind of lifted the movie up for me. The other Meowth, I don't know what it says.
He kind of reconciles, and yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, we're not so different after all. Because we're clones. When I first saw the film, you know, Ash runs in at the last minute. He's like, stop the violence! He gets killed by Mewtwo and Mew because their like, attacks kind of like converge, you know, do that thing that always happens. And so he dies, and he turns to stone. I'm glad they were civil about it. Yeah, he didn't blow up or his brain didn't explode from psychic energy. He just turned to stone because that's what's kind of happened. And then something magical happens, a la Disney.
Something magical.
You know, they're all like, Bulbasaur. Blastoise. You know, they all... Sorry, I'm making fun of like probably the saddest part of the film.
Yeah.
And then they all kind of converge. And, you know, the Pokemon are all like, turn back the hands of time. What once was mine. You know, they sing that. They sing the Rapunzel song.
Rapunzel? I knew there was something about Rapunzel.
She's from one of those regions, man.
One of those regions.
And then he's like, I'm alive! You know, and Mewtwo's like, oh, compassion, this is the first time I felt it. Maybe humans aren't that bad off, after all. I think I'll erase everyone's memories.
I need to remember this, but no one else needs to remember this. This is a really important thing. No one else.
What a selfish jerk.
You know why he did that?
No.
He was embarrassed about the whole thing. He was just like, I don't want you guys to remember this. Okay, just like, forget this whole thing never happened. I'm going.
Like,
bye.
Oh, this represents a certain liability for me.
Yeah. awkward.
This really tarnishes my mega Pokemon supervillain image, so yeah. Okay, so about the Pokemon tears, I read that in the translation, this got cut out. It was in the cut, that story where Mewtwo's a little baby Mewtwo. Something where, like, he's crying or she's crying. She's like, oh, Pokemon don't cry. And he's like, why? And she's like, oh, they just don't. And they said something about how the Pokemon don't ever cry for sadness. They'll just cry. People are the only ones who cry because they're sad. And so then you go, you know, that gets cut out, so we have no idea. But then here, the Pokemon are actually crying because they're legitimately sad because Ash died. For that reason, it somehow turned magical.
I like that it kind of showed that there's a lot more to Pokemon that we don't know. So exactly. That just kind of showed that, yeah. They have these weird powers.
Pokemon have so powers?
No, I mean, like these emotional healing powers. All of them can.
Except for Gengar.
I guess. Gengar will just kill you.
Gengar will just steal your soul. Yeah, so apparently no one is worthy of remembering the events that happened. And I like how in movies, there are two answers to everything. One is a nuclear bomb. Two is erase everyone's memories.
Yes.
These droids have seen too much. Wipe their memories. You know? Oh, the monsters are coming through the Pacific Rim Dimension portal. We have to throw a nuclear bomb down there. It's like, y'all are creative enough to build giant, you know, 80-story tall robots, but you can't find any better weapons than a nuclear bomb? Okay.
I know. Just blow up everything.
This is so not Japanese. But anyway, so I like how that's the answer to everything.
Mm-hmm. No, but then in the sequel, Mewtwo's like, you guys don't remember what happened? Let me just restore all your memories. Now you remember what happened.
He does that?
Yeah, he does that in the sequel. He's like,
okay, that seems like a step forward for the writers of the film.
And everyone's like, oh, yes, now I remember. Me too.
You're a monster!
You did this.
I know. No. You know what would have made this movie so much better? Is if Mewtwo's doing this amazing speech and he's like, yes, humanity must be enslaved. You are in conflict. Master Ball, go!
That would be the best.
See, that needs to be one of those
movie over.
Those cartoons that are on YouTube, how it should have ended.
How it should have ended. I guarantee you there is one.
Hey, that's how it all ended for us when we played.
It's like, oh, yeah. get through this massively hard dungeon. Oh, look, there he is. It's like, okay, I bet I can fight him. Okay, eradicate, use tackle. Oh my gosh, he's really good. Okay, Master Ball, see ya. Let's just get him on our team.
Yeah.
The worst thing that could possibly happen would be spending like 3 hours trying to get to him and then having your box when you throw it.
Yeah, so since this is 1999, no movie would be complete without a random generic 90s R&B song.
No freaking kidding.
And this time it's Christina Aguilera.
Again. She's good at those.
Like Mulan, so let's put her in Pokemon. And then there's that disclaimer at the end of the movie. After the credits, it says, any similarity to people, living or dead, or to actual incidents is purely coincidental.
What?
We are not alluding to an actual incident involving Mewtwo.
Yeah. Yeah. If this happened, we're not responsible for that.
That's bizarre. Why did they put that at the end?
I have no idea. They just put that.
Giovanni is not Al Pacino. We are not trying to depict him in that way.
Yeah.
No.
No one was thinking that. This is a made-up Japanese cartoon.
Yeah.
So, themes and morals of this. What do you, I guess?
Clearly that fighting is wrong, right?
Well, but...
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, it goes against everything Pokemon's about, because... Uh-huh. They go up, they don't remember that fighting is wrong, and they just go back to fighting. And then we, as gamers and as viewers, were like, meh, that was cool. I'm going to go back and play my red and blue.
Yeah, I know, right? Go ahead, Gary.
No, for me, it kind of made sense, because the fighting we see in this movie, it's kind of brutal. Like, it's not what happens in the games, like healthy, fun competitions. This one, I think the Pokemon, if no one stopped them, they would have killed each other. So that fighting is wrong, but battling, that's cool. Just do that.
Battling, killing, cool, I think. Fighting, bad.
Yeah.
Killing is bad and wrong.
Killing is bad, yes.
There should be a new word for killing, like badong. Yes. Mm-hmm. Kung Pao, anyone? Did anyone see that film?
No.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, but yeah, I agree with Gary. Like, this is sorry. This is there's a difference between, okay, they're just gonna faint and then we'll stop. But I think Mewtwo really wanted to go all the way and just have blood on the floor, blood on the dance floor over at that little tournament that he had. And so, so that is wrong. I will go out on a limb and say that killing is bad. Yeah.
I was saying, I love that Mewtwo also discovered what the meaning of life is. He says, the circumstances of one's birth are irrelevant. It is what you do with the gift of life that determines who you are. I thought that was one of the best quotes in the movie.
That's a good quote.
Like, he really discovers that. And he changes. And I like movies where villains change.
Where villains change?
For the better.
But do we see him change? Like, do we ever get to see that Mewtwo's become this good guy?
We see that in the sequel. He's like, oh, all my clones, like, we're living a happy life. And he actually, I think he saves people from accidents and stuff, humans.
Oh, he becomes Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. <There's that. laughs> He's just... View of Steel.
I'm going to skip this.
Yeah, so we asked our listeners probably one of the most important questions you could ever ask someone. I asked Shanna, my wife, this while we were dating, and this helped me. I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
No, if I had asked her about Pokemon while we were dating, it would have been over. But let's see. Our listener Twitter question was, and this is like the best question ever. What is your favorite Pokemon from Generation 1? So red, blue, yellow. Trish A on Twitter said, Bulbasaur all the way. Look how freaking cute he is. Not bad. Kiersey Hamill on Twitter says, lick a tongue. No real reason. I just find it hilarious.
Aw, she's a hipster.
She is a hipster.
So, Pablo, kind of unoriginal, but Charizard, because he's just awesome, and I cried when Ash finally wins him over after he's frozen. Aw.
Wow,
frozen.
Sweet.
Jonathan says, Mr. Mime, I feel identified.
Mr. Mime is pretty sweet. Because he can cast Psychic, which he has a decent special attack, but he can also do Barrier Reflected Light Screen. And in Generation 1, if you cast all three of those, like you almost can't be touched.
Mason, you are a true Pokemon master.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Coming from a cool trainer such as yourself.
Thank you.
I consider myself just a super nerd. The guy who's like hunched trainer. Over on his hands and knees, like, what is he? What are they even doing?
He's like digging in the grass.
Sorry, I tripped walking over.
Sorry.
Back a ton. Yeah, I don't know if would you rather be a super nerd or a pokey maniac? You know, the ones who are like, oh, do you like cosplaying? You know,
super nerd.
I'd rather be a super nerd than a pokey.
When you put it that way,
the pokey maniacs straight up wear capes. And they're like, okay, there's something wrong with you, you know?
That's why I stick to my cool trainerness.
Shouldn't you be in your house?
Okay, so Ator I. Irana says Haunter, because who are you going to call?
Ooh, good choice.
Nice choice. Gareth says Dragonite, because dragons, essentially. Also, because he was super powerful. I agree.
That is true.
Dragonite's good.
And lastly, Stephen Burt, my brother. He wrote back and he says, number 4, of course.
Okay, so it's either Skull or Charmander.
I think it's Charmander.
Charmander. Okay. I agree.
He's showing off his poke nerdness by just calling it by its number.
Oh, Steven, you're awesome. Oh, my goodness. Okay, thanks, Twitter listeners. Thanks for chiming in and voicing your opinions, because they count.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's like the classic favorite one from Generation 1.
It's true.
This is a straight-up dragon.
Our favorites?
Ooh, the list could go on and on, but right now, let's see. Right now, I feel strongly about Tyranitar.
Gen 1.
Gen 1. That's
Generation 1?
Oh, fail!
Yeah. Generation 1, I really liked Parasect, the giant mushroom.
Really?
Because it knew Spore, which is a 100% accurate sleep attack. And then after that, you can just play with them, like do Leech Life or like Slash. Pretty high defense, but it couldn't really do much against fire types. But other than that, I just thought it was like a really fun Pokemon to use.
Wow, that's your favorite Parasect. I never would have imagined you saying that.
When I was a kid growing up, like until I moved on to like Generation 2 and like started getting into like the numbers of it all, I really just wanted to roll with Parasect. Like I would get really excited when I got to Mount Moon and I could catch one.
Nice.
It was my buddy for most of the game.
Someone needs to do fan art of Mason walking around with a Parasect.
I've already got our fan art planned out.
Oh, awesome.
Perfect. So our listeners are welcome to depict us as Pokemon trainers, but I've already got some plans for that.
Oh, perfect. I'd say one of my favorites is Dratini. I always thought Dratini was super cute because if you get a Dratini, which is really hard to do, because it's a stupid fishing pole, then it turns into a Dragonair, a Dragonite.
Dragonair is really pretty, but you're stuck in that Dragonair stage for like forever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know. Level 55.
Yeah, it's like 55, 56. It finally turns out.
Yeah.
And then it's just like a lesser Dragonite because it doesn't even know Hyper Beam or Outrage. It just knows like Rap.
Yeah.
How about a hug from Dragonite?
So what about you, Gary?
My favorite, it used to be Raichu. I was such a fan of Raichu. But I think of Generation 1 all time is Articuno. It's so cool. I love Articuno.
Articuno's pretty sweet.
Yeah, also because the second movie is awesome, and Articuno's in that, so...
Articuno
it's so nice.
Do you remember that song?
Yeah, PokéRap, Electro, Diglett, Nidoran, Mankey.
Straight up brainwashed.
And it's a
exactly.
I know.
Okay, so let's rate this movie. I'm excited to see what we all rate it.
Like, I always feel weird about these, like, 1990s anime movies, so I'm going to be, like, 3.5 stars for the Pokemon movie. No, okay.
That's okay. I'm going to give it 2.5.
Because... Really?
And I don't feel bad saying that at all. I mean, it's not an incredible movie, this is like very niche specific for one audience. The animation really didn't improve that much from the anime. Maybe a little teeny bit, but for the most part, no. Plot is just kind of, it's okay, but nothing revolutionary. It didn't break any animation grounds. For that reason, it's just 2.5. It's good. Ooh. I enjoyed it, but I can't give it more.
Ice Woman. So I'm going to give this 3.5 stars as well. I don't think it's that bad, but yeah, it's, I mean, when you're going to watch a Pokemon movie, you're not expecting Pixar or Studio Ghibli. So you can just enjoy this for what it is. And it's pretty good for the fans. I wouldn't recommend this for anyone who's not a fan, really. But it has pretty good messages as well, so that's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, unhealthy for kids. Like, I don't think there were any seizures that came from this movie.
No, definitely.
Pokemon is amazing. I love it forever, and I will never leave
it.
But
the movie isn't.
Here we have, you know, Grandpa Trainer Mason when he's 65.
You know, when I was just a kid, Grandpa, Pokemon's not cool anymore.
I really hope some of us are still talking about Pokemon when we're literally in our 60s.
Yeah, we'll
that's how we know we made it. So we want to thank Gary Wright for coming and co-hosting the episode with us. It was really awesome, especially to have such a Poke fan as him. Really fun to have him there and to talk about it. So thanks, Gary.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. I loved it.
Very, very fun.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Gary, where can people find you online?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at IamGaryWright. You can find me on my blog, which is GaryWrightOnline.blogspot.com. Yeah, that's it. I'm also on Instagram, if anyone cares. It's the same. I'm Gary Wright.
You can also find me, Morgan Stradling. I'm on Twitter. And Mason, he's on Twitter now. His screen name is Mason SMTX.
Yeah, please take note of that, folks. I really don't have as many followers as I projected in the first quarter. So I'm just kidding. So please friend me. Come on.
It takes time.
Oh, no, I'm totally satisfied. Everybody's been, like, really cool. And it's been fun to, like, connect with listeners and fans on Twitter. So
are you still have your Twitter angst?
No, I know how to use it now.
Oh, good. So that's the big learning curve. People are like, I don't get it. I don't understand Twitter. Twitter's so weird. And then they get it and they're like, Twitter's cool.
I think the big lesson to learn on Twitter is that everything you say, like, literally is public.
Unless you're a private account, which is lame because I am wholly against private Twitter accounts. What's the point?
Yeah, it's like a kind of a contradictory concept.
That's what I say. Okay, you can find us, the Rotoscopers, online. We are at therotoscopers.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. You can find us on Hypeable and, of course, animatedviews.com. So great episode, guys. I'm glad we could all transport back in time to relive our childhood again, which some of us are still in.
Stuck on,
exactly.
No kidding, man. I hop on my bike and I'm all like, do 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 do
do do do do do do do do. So with that, thanks for listening, guys. And until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers.
Gary, Mason, Gary, Morgan, Gary. I don't know. So some of our microphones, like, it's really echoey and crazy. So.
Mm-hmm.
What about me? Do I sound too twangy? do I sound too much like a redneck? Because I can
not at all, partner.
I can turn that down.
Or what do you want to
wild
be?
Gary.
What kind of Poke trainer are you, Gary?
Yeah,
I'm a water Pokemon master.
Oh, so you're an angler.
That's what
you're an angler or a swimmer.
I'm not.
Yeah, swimmer,
I'm
Gary.
A beach babe.
The Pokemon with the Poke on the mall and the beach.
Yeah, what the Pokemon?
Oh my gosh!
What do you like to play?
Pokemon.
That's gonna be our
Poke with the man and the thing that comes out of the thing.
That should be our interlude. Oh,
that's
music.
Like an internet joke about isn't it like a Simpsons episode where they interview Bill kids say the darnest things and Bill Cosby's talking about Pokemon.
Yeah.
All good things come from Simpsons.
It is true.
Maybe he got lavender drum.
Oh.